Abbey Road Records Show.
Heavy metal, rock and roll is always going to be with us. Day after day, year after year, it's never going to die.
Who likes rock and roll? Yeah!
Abbey Road Records Show.
Put down the boxing gloves and try and just get it together.
Well, hey, Laba! Welcome to another installment of Super Segments, where we put on our spelunking gear and climb deep into the caves of shabby episodes not traversed by the human ear for many a year. This time, we celebrate AD's penchant for risk-taking at the record store. No one is more freewheeling with his cash than our pal AD. We all should applaud his efforts, as it certainly makes the show more interesting when he pulls out records that a lesser man would scoff at, never giving it a second glance. So here's to AD and his beloved, often beboobed, Oddballs, Volume 1, because there are just so many of them. First up, one of my favorites from Episode 51, AD and the Aardvark. When I went into the archives looking for when we played this particular Oddball, I didn't realize that it was part of an episode with Mikey Bones, our dear friend. So that's an extra treat for all of us. And then next up after that, episode 132, Manhandled in the Panhandle. AD brings another oddball band, again, a strangely named band that gives us plenty of fodder for terrible puns. What else is new on that show? Both segments are pretty darn fun. We hope that you really enjoy these. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Shabby Podcast. We love to hear from you. And before we put these oddballs in play, let's talk about our sponsor, folks that have serious balls of their own. That's, of course, alltheworldsastage.net. You need swag, right? Stuff we all get for your next business expo. You know, you're never going to get that cheapskate boss to sign off on that expenditure unless you find some low, low prices to keep that bottom line so infinitesimal your penny-pinching overlord won't even notice. You can buy the most oddball swag you can think of without a care in the world, much like a high AD Adams at the record store. Save money and promote your business at alltheworldsastage.net. Enough talk. Here's more talk, this time about Oddball Records.
Sorry, what do you got? Blow us away.
Well, I'm finishing up with some Mott again. Not Mott the Hoople. From the Mott Tower.
Mott Tower,
all right. Because I'm back to the Summer of Mott after the 50th anniversary episode.
I'm loving the Summer of Mott.
This is going to get kind of cool, kind of weird. Kind of cool in that it's a really cool band. And remember, my theme was fuckers who went on to do really cool shit. Okay?
Okay.
That's my theme. So, two of these fuckers went on to be in Uriah Heep.
Oh.
And one of these fuckers went on to be in Jethro Tull.
Well, it's unfortunate.
I brought a band called Toe Fat.
What?
I brought an album called Toe Fat 2. And you talk about album covers.
There was a one?
There was a one. This is great, dude. This is... You look at that album cover.
I remember
that. Is that the weirdest
album cover
you've ever seen? That's the weirdest fucking... It's just...
What in the world is that?
Do you remember that company that did all those album covers called Hypnosis?
Oh, of course they did all the great ones.
That was one of their first album covers ever, right?
Should have been the last.
Look at the...
It looks like a close-up of dried, waxy chicken bones and
somebody
vomit. Yeah, and hurl. Chicken bones and hurl. And the dudes in the band are superimposed eating slices of watermelon.
What in the
and,
world?
But look, now there's eight images of guys. Each guy's got one of them with their face, and the other one, their face is a toe. It's a toe is superimposed over their face. I'm not kidding. Am I wrong, Ryan? Look at that.
This reminds me of Land of the Lost.
It is. It's
and so it looks like something that Land of the Lost would have went, no, this looks like shit.
Yeah.
We're going to go with the sleep stack.
What the hell is this?
So on the back, they look cool, though.
They are cool.
They're cool dudes.
See,
yeah.
Dude, that's another one of those album cover
Toe Fat.
Toe Fat.
Now, two words, is, T-O-E-F-A-T.
And this is Toe Fat Two.
Two.
Now, their first album was called Toe Fat. And
remarkably, it didn't sell.
It didn't sell. Well, that album cover was also done by Hypnosis, which actually was done before this one. So Hypnosis wasn't in business very long. So the first...
yes, they were. They did records in... They were doing UFO records and like.
I'm sorry. This band. What I meant was this band wasn't in business very long.
Oh, okay.
Because of their album covers by Hypnosis, their first album cover featured naked people on the beach, but no genitalia. But instead of faces, there were toes superimposed on the face. Now in the corner, in the UK release was an. A bare-breasted woman and a man standing behind.
Uh-huh.
But of course, in the UK, they just superimposed a sheep. So it was naked bodies on a beach and then a sheep. So look
this
at that
is
album cover.
Horrifying in the sense that you want to sell a record.
If that's not the worst album cover in the history.
Worst band name of all time.
Toe Fat.
Well, that's
Toe Fat.
Okay, so it was
T-O-E-F-A-T.
It's a British band, and they were kind of this. They were formed in June of '69, so that's when the British blues rockers were happening. And that's Hendrix, and all the British blues. Hendrix had done the Woodstock, and remember that era. All those British blues
of
bands.
Of course, yeah.
That thing. So it was this pop star, Cliff Bennett. Got together with former gods and not the gods from that we've played.
G-O-D-Z.
Yes. But Ken Hensley.
Okay.
And another guy named Lee Kerslake.
Ooh.
Ooh, here we go. Okay. Lee Kerslake.
Right? So right. Ken Hensley, who was a keyboardist for Uriah Heep, Lee Kerslake, who went on to be the drummer for Uriah Heep, Ken Hensley played guitar for this band, formed it with this guy, and then they got a bass player named John Glasscock.
Glasscock. I beat him in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah. My girlfriend Joe Glasscock. Bought that for $14.99 in Mexico.
I shattered his record.
What did you buy? I brought a glass cock.
Okay.
Listen, John Glasscock happens to be a great he replaced who I thought was one of the most irreplaceable bass players of all time. John Glasscock replaced Jeffrey Hammond of the great Jethro Tull.
Oh, wow.
Right?
He is a good bass player.
Yep, and he was a
not
kid.
Not a fan of his band.
Now, but, tragically, John Glasscock died at the age of 28. He was playing with Tull, and he was born with a congenital heart disease. So he joined Tull in 75 after playing with this band, Toe Fat.
So he joined and then he died? He joined Jethro Tull and died.
He joined Jethro Tull in like 75, I think.
And then it was how many weeks after?
Not weeks, no. It was like he died in 79. Oh, weeks, no. How many songs did it take to kill him? Come on, Ryan.
Shut up, Ryan.
A couple of days.
How many Tull songs
first gig.
Does it take to kill your bass player?
One, two, three.
Oh,
three.
He's down.
This show is going to take so much editing.
It's funny, this band started out with who ended up becoming members of these great, great bands, you know? Mm-hmm. So they recorded the first album, and it was, I haven't heard it. Listen, that's on one of the tops of my list, too, is to get the actual Toe Fat self-titled. It was, the critics loved it. It didn't sell. Dude, look at the album cover.
Toe Fat 1.
Oh, that's the second one. Toe Fat 1 with people's toes as bodies and shit. So anyway, no, the whole Toe Fat thing was the manager, this guy, Cliff Bennett, who was a pop star prior to, he was a British pop star who met up with these future rock star guys. Cliff Bennett ended up getting out of the business.
He was picking all the great guys next to him.
Yeah, but the problem is, look at their fucking album covers. So
it's horrifying.
So yeah, so he did one. I think he did one, but he was a former pop star and got these guys. So, but after, but they all quit and joined these great bands.
Well, like, yeah, who wouldn't tell the guys like you need to get out of Tofat?
Yeah, the dude. Yeah, right. All his buddies are playing in these awesome bands around. You know, dudes in Nazareth going, listen. Nigel, you got to get that. Look at your bloody records. You know? You know, the other guys went on to do what they did. And then the main guy, Cliff Bennett, he did one more record. The band split, and he's like, ah, fuck it. So he did one more record because he kind of had his name left and a little bit of money went, ah. So he did this record called, I think it was, I can't remember, but it was like a kind of a solo thing, and it tanked, and he just went, fuck it. And he became this bazillionaire tycoon shipping magnate kind of.
What?
Yeah, he went into the shipping business and made bazillions of dollars. Just totally quit the business. Right? So anyway, I want to play some Tofat from the Tofat 2 records. Came out on Rare Earth Records in the U.S.
Remember that?
Which was a subsidiary of what? Motown. Who was the first Caucasian band to sign with Motown Records?
Rare Earth.
Rare Earth. So they, Berry Gordy, created a Rare Earth Records, a subsidiary of Motown in the U.S.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. So Tofat was signed to Rare Earth Records in the U.S. They were signed to EMI/Regal Zonophone Records in the U.K. This came out in 71. It was produced by Jonathan Peel and not the DJ now.
Okay.
Just some other guy. But this is a song called Idol, and it's a song about an ex-girlfriend who just goes on to become a star. He doesn't say whether she's modeling or a movie star or a pop star or whatever, but here's a guy singing about his ex-girlfriend who's come to be a star, and he's bitter. He's like, oh, you fucking... You know, and she won't have anything to do with it. So it's kind of about a bitter.
So bitter.
Yeah, he's just really bitter. It's just, and the song's called Idol, okay? And it's written by Cliff Bennett and Alan Kendall. Now, after the guys who I mentioned left, Alan Kendall replaced Ken Hensley on guitar. Brian Glascock replaced Lee Kerslake, who's brother on drums. So now,
is that a brother?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so you got two Glascocks in the band.
And that's a double, baby. But the thing is, Alan Kendall and Brian Glascock had also played with the Gods. So when Hensley and Kerslake left the Gods to join Tofat. Alan Kendall and Brian Glascock replaced them in the Gods. Does that make sense?
It does.
Right? See how two...
I'm in.
So anyway, this is a great record. It's called Idol. Let's just put it on. Come on. Idol by Tofat from Tofat 2.
What side? What track?
Side one, track three. And it's a good little song about just guys pissed. He's just pissed.
Glass cock. Yeah. I can relate.
I've got two glass cocks.
Yeah.
That guy sounded like Johnny Winter.
Toe Fat. From Toe Fat 2. That's Idol. Rare Earth Records, 1971.
What's the rest of the record like? Is it cool? You like
that? It's a good record.
Yeah?
And they say, and I haven't heard it, but Toe Fat 1, or Toe Fat, is better. I like this one. I'm dying to hear the first one.
I can't wait for Toe Fat 3.
There's not going to be one.
No?
Nope. Nope.
All right, AD, what you got?
All right. I got another band making their debut here on the Chevrolet Ryan song. And I think you guys are going to like this. This is some Boogie Woogie, a little hard rock and some Ricky.
Have you got some Boogie?
I'll go some Boogie Woogie with a Texas accent, motherfucker.
Oh, Amarillo. Yeah. We're going to Amarillo?
Amarillo.
Yeah.
Amarillo, Texas.
The panhandle of Texas.
Yeah. Get manhandled in the panhandle. Come on. So.
Manhandled in the panhandle.
It's horrible.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know, but I think it's the title of the episode.
So. I have no idea. I just say stuff sometimes. I'm sorry, you guys. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Right, so, remember now, I've been kind of on a roll lately with...
Oh, yes, yeah.
A pat on the head. But, no, I've been kind of... And this is by happenstance. It's not intentional. It's not until I do the research on these songs that I pick that I go, holy shit, I've been on a roll lately... finding these regional bands mm-hmm. that have almost hit that crest and never did. I did it again this week.
Okay, like a left end, like I had last time.
Yeah, and you did that. And that went with the Mulkey Cole.
Yes.
And remember Peace and Quiet?
I love that record.
Right?
That
How
record
great was that?
Shit
That's
hot.
A great fucking record. And, and it harkens back to the Face Dancers, right? Mm-hmm. The Face Dancers. That was intentional, guys, yeah, okay. By the way.
They appreciate
the
that.
Fucking Face Dancers. So I found this. I was at the record room, and I was thumbing through, and I just saw this record. And I picked it up. It was one of those compelling records I've never seen. Same story. Same fucking story. And I look at it. And I flip it over. And I almost put it back. And it was something. And it was $2.99. And then right in back of it was the same band but a different album. And I picked that up. Right?
Okay.
So I went. I looked at the guy. And I go, have you ever? I held the record up. And he was kind of across the record store. I go, have you ever heard of this? And he goes, no. And I go, could you drop the needle on a song? And he's sure. So he takes the record off that's playing with some classical thing. It was rock and balls, it was real loud.
Was there a classical harmonica in it?
Yeah, there was, and some gurgling. and a cowbell.
And a cowbell.
He puts on, he just lays the needle down on track one, on side one of what looked like their, because one was this, looked like it was self-titled.
The debut.
Yeah, and the second one had a title for the album with the band's name on it. So he played it, he dropped the needle for about 4 seconds. I go, I'll take them both.
Was it a guitar or a drum?
It was a guitar, just fucking, I just went,
Well, $2.99. What do you get to lose?
So I get home and I put I put it on and I once I got home I Googled them as I dropped the needle on now I'm in I'm listening to this shit.
Yeah.
So I find out that they're a band from Amarillo, and they put out 2 albums and I have them both.
Good job.
You're right.
Their entire discography.
I filled that catalog but quick. So they never did anything else, but they were this huge regional band. They did, all the from southern Texas all the way up north through like Oklahoma or what's north of that? I don't even know. Like
their first track called Pew Pew.
Yeah. How would you spell that? You don't have to, motherfucker. You just have to understand it.
You should.
So And this band's good. They're one of the region, Mulkey Cole. You know,
they're a regional rock band.
And remember recently I was talking about Max Webster. I played them. Well, what happened?
Wait. You played Max.
They're Max Warrior. I'm shit. You got me. I did that to you. Motherfucker, you did.
Max Warrior.
Max Warrior, thanks.
Max Webster, also a great band.
Right.
Canadians.
And a Canadian trio. So the Max Warrior thing, what happened was, remember the other band, the Uzel Brothers, formed a conglomerate of agency, record label, right?
Okay, yeah, got it.
Same story now with this band.
Except in Texas.
On my thing. So I brought a little band called...
Oh, no.
Baby.
Baby.
Shut up, you guys.
Hey, Baby.
Mikey Bones. Sylvester Stallone as a babysitter.
Yes,
Sylvester. Hey, Baby. You gotta eat. You're hungry.
Hey,
you might be hungry.
Yeah, you.
A little tired. You go to bed. Hey, baby, sleep.
Maybe my favorite. Did he ever do that on the show?
I don't think he did, Dad.
Oh, shit.
So, anyway.
That was our favorite Mikey Bones skit.
But look at these guys.
Sylvester Stallone is a
look
babysitter.
Look at Baby.
Hey, Baby.
Hey. Hey, look at Baby.
Yeah, right? That's something. Okay.
So what they did... They failed to find huge success, so what they did was they started the Baby Enterprises Incorporated to handle all the band's affairs. A pretty cool looking band, except
that dude looks exactly,
except for that dude. Right?
That dude looks exactly like my old buddy Skeeter Whitaker.
We're gonna call him Skeeter. I don't know what his name is, but
that is fucking Skeeter Whitaker, you guys in Quincy. Holy shit, that dude is a spitting image.
Hey, really? Look at his name with it. What is it?
Please be Skeet.
Please be Skeet.
Or some other bug.
So these guys. So anyway, these guys then started Lone Star Records, which was their sort of little local regional conglomerate, like the Uzel Brothers did, and then, you know, the CMC. So they started the record label like that, a small label, independent. Was it say Skeeter on there? You're pointing to something.
No, it was manufactured in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah, it was actually manufactured, which means there's a machine out here somewhere.
I know. There's a record pressing plant
out
here.
Yeah, we got to find it. But so, yeah, and this was 1975. So that's where.
Big state of Texas.
Yeah.
Big state of Texas
and
on their
star. And a star.
On their label.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, AD.
No, that's okay. But so this is obviously their debut album, right? And it's funny that their follow-up album, which was their second and last album, was named, the title was Where Did All the Money Go?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're singing from the heart on that
one. But this is kind of cool, you guys. It's Leonard Skinnerty, I got to say.
Oh, right. The room is spinning. I'm so surprised.
No, but it's also got sort of a Winter Brothers, Edgar and Johnny Winter Brothers vibe to it, right? Because obviously Texas, right?
Texas.
Was that Lubbock, Texas?
Yeah.
And but it's got a Fog Hattie thing to it. It's got a little double Z shit.
Double Z's.
Yep.
Double Z.
Yeah.
Double Z's.
But it's got that. It's got a little Allman Brothers. But I think it lends itself a little bit more to the British. Status Quo, you mentioned earlier, a Wishbone Ashy kind of blues.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. So I listened to this first record, and I'm like, it's fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those surprise bands. Ricky, I think you'll like this record.
Excellent.
Yeah, man. It's got the Southern flavor, but again, I think the Boogie Woogie ends up a little bit more British than... I don't know if they tried it that way, or maybe they had a Fog Hat, a Frog Hats record or two. Who knows? But all the members of the band are really, really good players, so it's a tight band. And they just really didn't do much except for this main guy. Now, there's this one guy, Johnny Lee Shell, who's one of the band's principal writers. He actually went on and he played guitar on Bonnie Raitt's humongously successful Nick of Time record.
Wow, really?
So that was him playing guitar.
So he
guitar
hung
on
around
that
scene for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, it's pretty cool. You mentioned Justin Bieber earlier.
I did not.
I think I did.
No, Ricky that's did. Right. Ricky mentioned Justin
How
Bieber.
How dare you?
Yeah. Look at me and say that again,
I
motherfucker.
Did not.
Yeah. No, okay,
Ricky has a friend that produces Justin Bieber.
And we were talking.
It wasn't on mic.
Right. No, I know. But we were talking earlier about Justin Bieber. There's a Justin Bieber trivia that goes with this band.
No way.
Way. Okay?
Excellent.
Cool trivia about an odd connection is when Justin Bieber's big hit, what was it, Baby, came out.
Baby,
right?
Baby,
right?
Baby, oh.
So that came,
I mean, I guess that's how it goes.
When that came, yeah, don't look at me, Mr. Bieber guy.
I have a daughter.
Right? So when that came out, this band, as a result of that hit being called Baby,
Baby Enterprises?
It resulted in substantial mailbox money for them.
Get out of here.
Because people hit play on the wrong, they see a thing, Baby. These kids would see Baby and just click on it.
And it was this old, these old geezers?
Yeah. And you imagine the tear, the teenage tears, the prepubescent tears, go, that's not Justin Bieber.
That guy is not. Right?
So they actually enjoyed a little bit of a resurgence in 2010 through the result of... Isn't that weird? How weird is that?
They got a lot of clicks on YouTube and they got paid.
It's like that name paid off.
Right?
Wow.
In a fucking trip. So I'm gonna play something. Again, this is their self-titled debut album, Baby by Baby.
Hey, Baby.
Hey, Baby.
Lone Star Record Company came out in 1975. This record was produced by Norman Petty. And I'm going to play a song called Hard Road. This is just a good rockin' bluesy number, great guitar tone. Just nothing fancy here, motherfucker. Right?
Yeah, Baby.
That's Baby.
Cool. Hey, Baby.
I love the guitar tone, just the vibe of it, 1975, just throwing down, Southern style.
Well, boogie-woogie, man. I mean, and so that's their self-titled. They had two records. This band, I think, is another testament to the rapidly growing major labels' greed and ignorance and myopia in the middle of the
that
fucking
is a $20
70s,
word.
Right?
Just, tell us what you mean there.
Just like... like myopic, like with tunnel vision.
I know, right? But how do you relate that to
a band like that? A band this cool, you know? How did how did a band this cool slip under the radar? And just, you know, other bands in that era, 76, 75, are getting signed. You know, 75, Mott had broken up.
Nope.
Disco was moving in.
Oh, dear.
So, God. I mean, you know, things were... There was an oil embargo. Right? But then another band that just kind of, you know, maybe just missed the boat. I mean, there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. And this is another one of them. Oddly enough, they had those two records out. The last record came out in 76. But they had one last release. It was a 45 that wasn't attached to any record or album or anything. Came out and just sort of withered on the vine. They put out this last single and just went, hey, no, we're done.
And that was it for Baby.
Yep, Texas
Baby
style.
Grew up.
Yep, Baby grew up. Texas style bye-bye.
And then you file this next to your Man records.
Yes, you do.
So you have Man Baby.
Yeah, Man Baby.
Hey guys, a portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is brought to you by alltheworldsastage.net. For all your bands and company merchandise needs, click on alltheworldsastage.net and never pay screen charges for orders of more than 24 items. There are no PMS or flash charges either. alltheworldsastage.net.